you know, was part of the Martin Luther King peaceful protests are calling for right now. You know, that, and it's really, it's kind of destroying their cause to have this kind of violence and looting and everything that's going on right now.
Welcome, everybody, U.S. Grace Force Podcast with you once again. I am here with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman, and we have no guests tonight. It's just the two of us, which we don't do very often, but we love to get a chance to do this once in a while and just kind of lay out some stuff we're thinking, and God willing, it'll do something good. So I want to start everything off with prayer. So, Father, I turn this over to your very capable leadership.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Always best, as we all know, to start with prayer, and in particular with the battles going on, we turn to St. Michael. Once again, first and foremost, thank all of the patrons who are continuing to support this work, what we're doing here with U.S. Grace Force. Unbelievable what you're doing to help us continue this, especially in these times. I mean, things are really crazy right now. At the time we record this, we know there's a lot of upheaval in the country. Of course, we've had this Chinese coronavirus problem, the COVID-19 thing, and this pandemic, and then we've got all of this violence now in so many cities across the United States and other parts of the world. There's a few other places where it's broken out, all in connection to this situation with this guy, George Floyd, who died at the hands of those police officers. Tragic and wrong right there. So, but anyway, we want to address a little bit of that tonight. But I want to thank all the patrons. Your support is making it possible for us to continue this work and help all the people behind the scenes and help us reach as many hearts and souls as possible. So please, if you're interested in becoming a patron, click on the link below to Patreon and sign up, and we keep you in our prayers. Again, thank you very much for that. Don't forget to check out our Teespring store. We've got some different t-shirt designs out there for U.S. Grace Force. Get yourself a U.S. Grace Force t-shirt. And, you know, Father's Day is coming up real soon. So, you know, pick one up for Dad. Let him know, hey, you're part of that Grace Force, Dad. Got to have you up there on the front lines in the battle. So check out the Teespring. You'll notice here, if you're on YouTube, you check out our YouTube channel if you're listening through another platform. But go to the YouTube channel and you'll see underneath the video here, you'll see the different some of the different images. Click on that. That'll get you to the Teespring store. And from there, you can just go crazy. And remember, all of that does continue to support the work that we're doing here with U.S. Grace Force. So God bless you and appreciate that. Father, a lot has been unfolding, and it's an incredible time right now. And I know we want to unpack. We talked earlier today about this whole, just how things are transpiring right now in the country, in the world. And it's like another shoe has dropped. And I know we want to unpack a lot of this. I mean, what are your general overall thoughts about what we're seeing right now?
Yeah, so here's where I'm coming from. We had a situation arise in our diocese. I know we'll get into that about religious persecution, but we got informed about that as a diocese at 10:30 on Thursday night, and by 11 o'clock on Friday morning, 200 people gathered in front of our state capitol to pray the rosary and to process Our Lady of Fatima. It was just glorious, right? Yeah. The following day, the country blew up, you know, with these protests across the nation, wall to wall coverage. You know, our local station preempted all their shows for, like, I think it was 13 hours straight, just covering this. And it was right down near where we were. One thing I did notice, though, Doug, is I kept going, we just walked and prayed there, you know, but it wasn't exactly there. They never broached the ground that we were walking, okay? Because we were tight on to the state capitol, and they were on the streets all leading up to the state capitol. And all I could think about, too, and I'm talking about the violent people and the looters. I'm not talking about the peaceful protesters. but you just had this sense of kind of the minions trying to rise up out of the, you know, the fires of hell and stuff like that. It just felt like that. And again, I'm talking about as I'm watching police cars being burned, and we had one of the classic jewelry stores in Madison was broken into. I think a number of others were. You just saw great, you know, like the Orpheum Theater, which I went to as a kid to watch, you know, Bambi or whatever it was. But here's Doug, what I was thinking of too, is that that spot that most of that film footage was showing on Saturday was the exact same spot that got a lot of national coverage during the protests with the hippies in the late 60s. We were like an epicenter. It was us, Madison, Wisconsin, and San Francisco, California. It was in other places, obviously, but in terms of national coverage, we'd seen it on national news. Madison got a lot, and here we were again. And again, you know, that sense that evil is rising. And again, I'm not talking about the peaceful protesters, but I'm talking about all those bad actors who took advantage of people doing a peaceful protest and turned it into something completely different and horrified the nation.
Right. Well, and you know, Father, let's make something real clear to anybody out there, you know, listening right now or watching is you've got a number of different, you know, pieces of this chaos that's taking place. There are peaceful people who are genuinely and sincerely concerned about racism or about injustice or about police brutality. I mean, I know you are, I am. Those things have got to be addressed. They always have to be, because people do cooperate. We're all capable of cooperating with evil, with temptations, with things that are destructive. You know, the famous quote from St. Philip Neri, you know, when he's with the men that he's training and his disciples, and they see a man going off to be hung in the courtyard, in the square there in the town, because he was a murderer. He was found guilty of murder and convicted and was going to be hung for this. And he says, "But for the grace of God, there go I." It's a famous quote, "But for the grace of God, there go I." You know, I've kind of altered that quote. It's my own kind of rendition of it is, "But for the grace of God, I can mess this up too." So no matter what it is we're doing in life, if we don't rely on the grace of God, we can mess it up. Well, let's look at what's happening with all this. And a lot of us, you know, we can easily cooperate with temptations that are bad, that are evil from the enemy, and we can mess things up. So let's look at that there are people out there who are sincerely trying to bring order and make things right where they've been messed up. Police brutality, racism, injustice, and so forth. But there are people who are clearly taking advantage of this. And they're the ones that are behaving, you know, like, I guess sometimes you look and you think that's how demons would behave. I mean, just mob violence, destroying for the sake of destroying, throwing bricks through windows, setting things on fire. It makes no logical sense at all.
Yeah.
It's there. It's an excuse for just upheaval and craziness.
Yeah.
But we have to understand that it's not just this and it's not just that. You've got a massive, you know, multifaceted problem here. But ultimately, there's one thing that's going to prevail, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight, and that's the grace of God and how we get there.
Right.
You know? But let's just make that clear to everybody. There are things that need to be worked on, no question about it. You know.
Yeah. You know. Even George Floyd's family was calling for peace.
Right.
You know, they don't want what this turned into. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I there's a great quote that I came across, and I've been actually using it the last couple of days, but Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that.
Mm.
Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And I guess that's what, you know, George Floyd's family and everybody who, you know, was part of the Martin Luther King peaceful protests are calling for right now. You know, that, and it's really, it's kind of destroying their cause, to have this kind of violence and looting and everything that's going on right now. And now the nation is in shock, you know, with all this. And I don't think it advances their cause at all.
Well, it doesn't, Father. You're right. And there's a lot of evidence out there that's being pointed to, you know, really serious agenda from people that are anti-American, groups like Antifa that have been troublemakers in the past. You've got coordinated efforts. I mean, there's the former Secret Service agent, Dan Bongino from Fox News. And, you know, and I'm watching all kinds of news, but you're finding there seems to be a theme running through here. And he's a former Secret Service agent. Now, at the time we recorded this, just a night or two ago, there were 60 Secret Service agents who were injured at the White House. The president was taken down into the bunker of the White House. And the following day, Bongino comes out in the news and he says that his friends who were in the Secret Service said this was coordinated. This was calculated in some way. So there is this agenda that seems to be showing itself. There are places where they're finding, you know, pallets of bricks or bottles or even Molotov cocktails are already in place in certain neighborhoods and areas. And FBI has talked about this, and other different towns have talked about, you know, police chiefs have come out and said, yeah, there's something going on here that's much more coordinated than just people being upset. So again, it brings in a whole realm of problem here. But you're right, it completely undermines what at least the initial message we heard was, is this is supposed to be justice for this poor guy who died at the hands of these police officers. But you're right, it destroys the cause, you know? And a lot of people you think about this, Father, too, is we're dealing with a time when we've had this lockdown for so long now. People are out of work, 40 million have applied, you know, for unemployment, and you've got people out there who are really on edge. You know, yeah. They've lost their jobs. We don't know when certain states are going to lift certain restrictions. You know, we've got persecution religion. So you've got a lot of people who haven't had access to sacraments on the Catholic side, and other denominations who haven't even had access to go hear preaching on the gospel or the scriptures at all. And this is just, it's like we've got a weak immune system spiritually in this country.
Right.
And so now it just makes us much more vulnerable and volatile.
Yeah. You know, the next morning I woke up, Doug, and actually I got 4 hours sleep the night before. Hmm. I just was glued because this is the town I grew up in, and I was watching around the nation, but I couldn't believe that it was erupting right here in Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, like I said, I saw a lot of classic places that I knew from my childhood that were being broken into and that. Anyway, and my response, Doug, wasn't anger. A deep sadness came over me.
Right.
And why? Because I looked at a lot of those people, especially the bad actors, right? And I said, you know, it's apparent they didn't have parents. Hmm. or if they did, you know, they had careless parents. And then that's when my mind too went back to that hippie generation, where what exploded on the scene. What was it, Doug? You know, that was the 1960s, where and this is the way I put it too. When I think of the 60s, I think of my Stingray bike, you know, with the banana seat and the butterfly handlebars and the big,
I had one of
they
those.
Call it the big sissy bar in the back, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I was at that time. But you know what, Doug? At that time, I think it was 85 to 90% of Catholics went to church. I mean, I had nuns, you know, for my teachers in full habits.
Yeah, I did.
That was the environment back then, right? Yeah. And this was mostly nationwide as well. And then what happened is that this explosion, I call it a volcano of evil, erupted in our country. And what was it? You know, it was demonic forces that wanted to make man their own god. Okay, that's what it was. It was, let's cut ties with God, and let's make ourselves our own god, right? And that's when, you know, the whole idea of freedom became free to what? To be able to use your base desires and wants and lusts. Well, that's what animals do, Doug.
Yeah.
That's what animals do. And what's interesting too is at that time in the late 60s, that's when Anton LaVey started the first Church of Satan in where? San Francisco. And the Satanic Bible, where their high commandment is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do whatever you want. Well, what is that? That's a kid without direction. You know, it's a spoiled brat kid. I want to do whatever I want. No one's going to tell me otherwise, right? And so, and that was the new normal, if you will, at that time, is that we should just be free. And so then what happened was, Doug, anybody who stayed near the church, they became a threat. Mm. They became a threat. You know, I can remember in my early priesthood, I would talk about ills in our culture. And I would list them out when I got to abortion, right? Just putting it in a list, just naming the word abortion in a list. I watched as people did these, what I call showy exits. All right. In the middle of my homily, they would stand and they would turn their back and they would, in essence, process out. How dare you talk about abortion? That's well, where we were, Doug.
And was contraception was contraception another one? Because contraception.
Oh, you didn't dare talk about contraception. In fact, it was common among priests at that time to tell people, especially in the confessional, no, your conscience is your God.
Right.
Okay. It trumps the truth. It trumps God's desire for what he wants for us.
Yeah. The primacy.
You know, our conscience does that. And no, you didn't dare talk about conscience. But, you know, Doug, I went through that. And there's a passage in John's Gospel in the Bread of Life Discourse. So it's the sixth chapter. And all of a sudden it goes, and many of his disciples went back to their former way of life and no longer were with him. Okay. That's when after that, he turned to his closest to him. He says, you're going to leave too? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. But anyways, passage, and many of his disciples left him and went back to their former way of life. That's the 66th verse of John 6. Yeah, so it's John 6:6:6. Okay. Yeah. That should tell us something about what this eruption of evil was in the late 60s, okay? They left him, and they went back to their own way of life. And what is that, Doug? And this is where I'm getting to, too, is that as I watched those riots and the violence and the looting and everything, again, not the peaceful protesters, but the people that George's family were speaking against. As I watched that, Doug, I thought, this is base behavior.
Yeah.
You know, this is animalistic. It's savage. You know, to just go into someone's property and take their stuff and to smash and burn and that, you know, this is what the animals do. And I said, you know, when you boil everything down, that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about living a base life or living the high life. And there's a great story, Doug, that it's about an eagle that when it was still an egg, it was abandoned for whatever reason. And a prairie chicken took it and laid on the egg until it hatched. And so the eagle thought it was a prairie chicken because it was born and raised by prairie chickens. Prairie chickens don't fly. Prairie chickens eat garbage, okay? So one day the little eaglet who thought it was a prairie chicken looked up in the sky and saw a soaring eagle and turned to his mom and asked what that was. She said, that's an eagle, but you could never be like that because you're just a prairie chicken. And so for the rest of that eagle's life, it pecked garbage and thought it was just a prairie chicken. Doug, that's why I was sad Saturday watching those riots.
Yeah.
These poor people have been indoctrinated, and I believe with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, by a ruling class who shoves reality TV under their nose and whatever else, and basically tells you this is your norm, okay? You're just prairie chickens that eat garbage. You are not eagles. And Christ is telling every one of us, we're eagles. We're called to set our wings and fly. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, we're called to be supermen, godmen, okay? And what is that? That's values and morals and ethics and principles. Everything that my parents, God bless them, God rest their soul, instilled in me while I was riding that Stingray bike in the 1960s. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, that whole time period, you talk about the 60s, contraception explodes. And then by 73, Anton LaVey starts the Satanic Church, the Satanic Bible's written. And, you know, you think about the culture of what was happening in the 70s with music and entertainment, and things were starting to really begin to erode. Yeah. And then 73.
It was just narcissism.
Yeah. In January 22nd, 1973, abortion's legalized. You know, homosexuality, they threw out the DSM in 1973 that homosexuality was a disorder and it became an alternate lifestyle. And all of that. Now, you go from 73 to 2020 and you see everything that has been simmering and fomenting over all this time. And then in addition to that, we had the upheaval of what's happened within the church and in the faith. And if you remove people going to the sacraments, and I'm not talking about the lockdown, I'm talking about, like you said, Father, back then you had, you know, overwhelming majority, 80, 85, whatever, 90% even, were going to Mass on a regular basis. Now it's 20% or so, and 30%, only 30% believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. We've got this that has transpired in the last 50, 60 or so years. And then now we see this explosion of these things. Well, no wonder. So on, you know, when it comes to that, then Father, we've talked in previous shows, previous episodes of the Grace Force here, about chastisements. And I know you and I are very much on the same page with this.
Right.
This is not the chastisement that Our Lady tells us in Akita, Japan in 1973, by the way,
where
she says on October 13th, which is the anniversary of the miracle of the sun from Fatima, people, we have to understand that God doesn't do things coincidentally like that, especially that.
Right.
Some meaning to that. But regardless of that, she promises fire will fall from the sky. Now, we know that obviously we're not seeing fire fall from the sky. That's not what this is, but I know, Father, you've got a great kind of analogy, and as a layman and a father of children, five children, I completely echo it. You describe this as like a timeout, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I use the image of the classic where the little kid runs out in busy traffic. The parent goes, no.
Yeah.
And the little kid comes back all tearful and goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And the parent hugs the child. Oh, you're forgiven, but you're grounded for 2 weeks.
Right.
And why do good parents do something like that? Because that child has to understand how serious running out into busy traffic is. Okay. Right. See, to me, Doug, and I think you agree with that, that's what we mean when we're talking about chastisement. Okay. It's a punishment. But it's meant to get our attention, to take us to the next level, to call us out of some sin or evil that we're caught in. You know, that little child thought it was okay to go out into busy traffic, you know, and didn't know better. God wants us to know better. And so sometimes he has to get our attention. And I guess that's what I think we're going through right now.
Well, and I agree with that. And I'll say, as a father who's raised five kids, and any father out there who is raising or has raised children knows that you lay down some punishment or discipline or consequence because you're trying to disciple. That's what we're supposed to be doing with these things, is trying to help disciple them, train them, form them, like you said, to make sure they understand how serious this is.
Right.
Whether it's put your finger in an outlet, whether it's running in front of a car, whether it's don't play with the power tools, you know, whatever it may be. But if they don't listen, you've got to ramp up the discipline and the consequence,
right,
to help them understand it. So it might be a swat on the bottom at first when they're, you know, right, 7 years old or whatever. And then it's you ground them for a day. You take the toy away, you take the video game, whatever it is. And if they, yep, don't get it, then you step it up out of love. And out of God, love. The father in his perfect fatherhood.
That's a good parent.
Yeah, he's a good parent. And a good parent does that. So God the Father is a perfect parent, is going, right, to look at his children and say, I don't want to lose you for, right, eternity. You know, you, right, think about this, Father, you know, the last apparition, October 13th, 1973, that Sister Agnes Asagaba received from our Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother said at the end of the message, the cause of my great sadness is the loss of so many souls. So Our Lady makes clear. And then, of course, the statue, which is the image of Our Lady of All Nations, that's from a previous apparition in the late 40s, early 50s in Amsterdam to Ida Perdaman, again, approved by the church. So this statue, this wooden statue that's approximately 3 feet tall, starts to weep. Right. And for the next 6 years, 101 times, it weeps tears and it perspires. And every time it perspires, it smells like perfume. And when Bishop Ito had the tears and the perspiration and blood that came from a stigmata wound in one of the hands of the statue, a wooden, yeah, statue, bleeding for several weeks, all three, the blood, the perspiration, and the tears, were tested by three different medical facilities. They did not know. They were not told where they came from, these fluids came from. And they came back as human each time. Human tears, human perspiration, human blood. Why would the Blessed Mother, why would God work this miracle through this statue? And then Our Lady's words, the cause of my great sadness is the loss of so many souls. So you got a mother, the mother of us all, who's telling us, I'm concerned about your souls to the point of tears and perspiration. And this wound of the hand to point out in the shape of a cross on the hand of the statue, how serious this is. And then you've got a perfect father. Now this is in 73. And of course we had Our Lady of Coapa in 1980. And then Our Lady of Cobijo in 81 to 89. Again, warnings in each of those two apparitions. And you've got these warnings constantly coming from heaven. And now we see this stuff erupting. And Father, I know we talked about this when the whole crisis with this pandemic of this virus broke out, that this was probably some sort of, a friend of mine refers to it as a shot across the bow. And you know what? I get that. We've talked about that too. But if we don't get it, then what?
Right.
And I wonder if this isn't another shoe dropping that God is allowing, not causing, but allowing, due to so many people who have turned their backs on God's grace, so many people who have private personal agenda that are it's destructive, that's anti-order, anti-truth, anti-peace. And so we're caught in this sandstorm, this whirlwind now of what do we believe? How do we know what's a disinformation campaign and what's authentic? But there is something that can be done to help put these things back in place. And of course, we're going to get into that in a bit more here about prayer and such. And we got to talk seriously, people, about what it means to truly believe. As you say, Father, all the time, we have to believe in the supernatural.
Right. Yeah. I love, Doug, that you're focusing on Akita. You know, 1973. Okay. That ought to tell you something. Remember, Fatima was 1917, and she warned about the errors of Russia.
Yeah.
Well, that was the year of the Russian Revolution that came out that exact same year.
Yeah, Bolshevik.
So don't we know that the worst scourge on humanity, genocide of all of civilization, basically began in 1973 with Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. Since that year, nearly 2 billion children have been torn up from limb to limb from our mother's womb. And for the sake of what? Mainly, yeah, for narcissistic reasons, the late 60s, exactly.
Mainly as that commandment that Anton LaVey wrote in the Satanic Bible.
Yeah, do what thou wilt. Free sex. You know, and if you have a baby, just tear it apart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the horror. It's just the horror. What's interesting too, Doug, about Akita is that Sister Agnes Sisagawa is still with us today.
Right.
And last year, okay, we started hearing, the word got out, that she had, for the first time since 1973, another apparition of the Blessed Mother, another message given to her.
Right.
And the message was very simple. She said, put on ashes and pray a repentant rosary. Okay. It was akin to, you know, Jonah and Nineveh, right? Because something's common. Okay. Now, you know what's interesting, Doug? That came to her, we found out, on October 6th, 2019. Do you know what date the virus leaked from the lab in 2019 in Wuhan?
Yeah.
October 6th.
Yep.
Unbelievable. It threw the whole world into a pandemic.
Well, and another thing that was said, I mean, after the message came out that she received, she allegedly receives this message from an angel to put on ash and pray a rosary of repentance. She then personally said to those around her, caring for her, in so many words, she said, I have a feeling or a sense that this is close, that this is coming soon. What she meant, not 100% clear, but you're right. Within, you know, within a month or so, roughly 40 days, mid-November, the first reported cases start coming out, and then the entire world very quickly after that. And even to at this moment right now, the beginning of June, we're still kind of scratching our heads thinking, wow, how did all this happen so fast? You know, the lockdowns and the death toll, and then the accuracy of the death toll being questioned, and then the evidence coming out that it wasn't all accurate, and the manipulation, and the church is shut down, and all of this. And I think, again, our response to these things is saying something to heaven. You know, something I want to bring up, Father, get your thoughts on this too, is, you know, as a layman, you know, when my wife and I were, you know, found out we couldn't go to Mass, and the first Mass that we attended online, we both had tears, just kneeling in our living room, just seeing the Mass and realizing, wow, we can't receive our Lord, and we don't know how long it's going to be. Well, we're very blessed here in Tyler, Texas, where we live, where it wasn't too long, and we had access, thanks be to God. We were able to receive Holy Communion and get to some Masses. But I know that even at the time we record this, it's still not all over the country. Mass isn't available for everybody. In that window, everything was dispensed. The obligation was dispensed, right? And we've got this dispensation that has really kind of, I think, challenged and tested us all. Because my question to those out there right now who are Catholic, in your area, if you can go to Mass, if the dispensation is still there, it's all over the country. I mean, it has not been made obligation again due to the circumstances. But if you can go and safely, you know, you're not of the age that's a little more dangerous, you're not maybe healthy, you got some comorbidities going on, some health problems and so forth. I get all that, but I'm healthy. I'm able to go. Will I go? So I think it's a bit of a challenge and a question maybe. What message are we sending to God if I'm able to go? It's opened up in my area. I'm healthy enough to go. There's really nothing stopping me from going except myself, because it's not an obligation. So would I go anyway? And I think that's a good challenge for us to ask, you know, ourselves, look in the mirror. How seriously do I take receiving the Lord in Holy Communion, the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist? For the life of me, Father, I can't understand why more Christians in general maybe aren't looking at what's going on in our world and seeing that this may be a really good example of what happens when we walk away from grace.
Right.
And we just kind of wallow in this moment of, you know what, I don't have to go. I'm going to choose not to go. Oh, look, the country's on fire. The world's burning in different ways. Huh. And, you know, they're talking about a second wave potentially coming in the fall. Even though reports are coming out, I know you posted something on your page, your Facebook page recently, the Reuters report that a top Italian doctor says, it just seems like the virus is disappearing.
Right.
Right. But
because of our prayers.
Because of our prayers. Yeah, I agree with that. But yet they're still pushing this mantra of a second wave. And I'm thinking, you know what? What if this is God's way potentially of allowing this to say, I'm giving you people a window to respond faithfully and with zeal and with faith and trust in what I can do, you know? And if we don't, we're saying something to the perfect Father who may take that discipline and that punishment to the next level, you know?
Yeah, you know, you've heard me say many times, and I know the viewers have too, that my theory is that there was 100 years of Satan unbinding
right.
from the Pope Leo the 13th vision that he had. I'm in the school of thought that that started with Our Lady's warning in Fatima in 1917. So that would have meant 2017 is unbinding is over. So what is this? Well, we're seeing, in my estimation, a panicked Satan trying to regain his power, his greater power. I always say that the reason he had greater power wasn't because he changed, it was because we did. Right. Okay. You know, right. I went through seminary in the 80s and was not offered 1 minute of Eucharistic adoration. You don't have power when you have a church, you know, forming priests like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had seminarians that were kicked out of seminary because they had a statue of Our Lady in their room. Okay. That was the 80s. That's where we were. Satan had a greater power. Okay. Because of that. All right. But we started, praise God, John Paul II, you know, he really started to push Our Lady and Marian devotion and Eucharistic adoration. And all of a sudden you saw what they call John Paul II priests.
Yeah.
You know, young priests who were what? Who were devout.
They were.
Who believed in the supernatural power of God, who offered a reverent mass.
Yeah. Well, Father, I got to say, I remember at Cherry Creek State Park in 1992, World Youth Day. And I remember being there among 800,000 or so people, and John Paul II, you know, up there preaching. And at one point, as he's speaking, he stops. He says, "You young people, you should not be ashamed of the gospel." And then he stopped a little while later.
You do a good John Paul II.
And he stopped a little while later, and he turned back into, and he said, "No, I should not have said you should not be ashamed. I should have said you should be proud of the gospel." And we were just like, "Yes!" It was something. Oh, it was just could hear the crowd.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. It was amazing.
Yeah, but
I look at that time period, Father, and I see that almost as he was given to the world to help prepare us for this, which he himself talked about in 1976 before he became the Pope, when he was speaking in Philadelphia to the bishops. And the famous quote, you can find this, Wall Street Journal even quoted it. You can see it online if you look it up.
Yeah.
He said that we have entered the final battle between good and evil, between the church, the anti-church, the gospel, and the anti-gospel.
Yep.
And he says, and while a divine providence knows of this, we still must take this challenge up with courage. And he's warning us of the times. He knew we had entered into this. And here we are dealing with the fallout, you know, some 50, 60 years later from when he said that.
Yeah. So, you know, so like I say, you know, Satan was free. That's what unbinding means because, you know, we didn't take up, you know, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible.
Right.
That's why I'm always saying supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. You know, St. Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil. For we're not fighting flesh and blood here. We're fighting dark forces in the supernatural realm. Okay.
Right.
That's so, 2017, we're in 2020 right now. What's the devil doing? He's panicked. He's going crazy. But here's what I say he's doing. And this is what we're seeing. He's overreaching because he's panicked. And so he's exposing himself, all right? So we are seeing raw evil since 2017. It's shocking. It's horrible. But here's the bottom line. God's asking, okay, you see the evil. What are you going to do about it?
Right, right.
What are you going to do about it?
Okay? Yeah, you know, Father, when you mentioned earlier, I want to throw this in before we get to what we're going to do about it, about the devil always being there, but you know, we allowed him in more basically, right?
Yep.
I look at that as, look, when I'm teaching self-defense to someone, I'm adamant about keep your guard up, keep your guard up at all times. A good friend of mine, a good buddy of mine, Chuck Bo, I call him Chuck Bo. And because we grew up in the Rambo time period, right? Watch a lot of Rambo movies. And the guy is just amazing, former military, 32 years, special forces, incredible guy. And Chuck Bo is giving me a lesson one day years ago. So we're standing there, we're sparring, and it's kind of an open hand, slap the head sparring, and it's all about speed. And he's he's getting the best of me. But he keeps yelling at me, you know, firmly, keep your guard up, keep your guard up. Because you have a tendency to want to, you know, drop your hand when you reach out to strike. We got to keep that guard up. Yep. And so I kept getting nailed, and he kept saying, keep your guard up, no matter what, keep your guard up. I said, okay, got it. And then he stops, steps back 5 feet, puts his arms down, and says, I want to tell you something. Let me show you something. Well, the moment he steps back, if anybody's ever been in a situation where you've been going through self-defense training of some sort or martial arts, and the person steps back, puts their arms down, you think the attack is over. So what did I do? I dropped my guard. And when my guard went down, he slowly started to walk towards me, and he put his finger up and he said, Doug, like I said, no matter what, don't you ever whack. And he hit me in the eye with his finger. Don't ever drop your guard. And I said, oh man, I said, what was that for? And he said, it's the best lesson I can ever teach you. I said, yeah, I see. Just not out of this eye. And his whole point was, when you least expect it, when you think the attack is over, when you think you can rest, the enemy, if he's better than you, if he's smarter than you, he's more experienced than you, he could strike. Never drop your guard. So I believe you, Father. I think it's a great analogy you use, or a great point you make, that when we were going to Mass more consistently, when we were not practicing birth control, when we were not embracing abortion, when we were not falling into let you know, your will be number one, you know, that's the whole of the law, right? Thy own will be done, right, and so forth. Do what thou wilt. When we were truly, truly wanting to know God, that was keeping our guard up.
Right.
You stop going to confession, you stop praying, you stop going to Mass faithfully, you've dropped your hands, you are wide open. Yep. For the attacks of the enemy. So you're right. I agree with you. The devil's power has been there, but we were foolish enough to lower our guard and let him in and let him start to ravage and destroy,
right,
in ways we had never seen at this point.
Right. So how do we reclaim surrendered ground? We have let the devil run free. And now, as I said, my theory, these 3 years, he's panicked, he's overreaching, he's exposing himself.
Right.
What does God want us to do? You know, Doug, we're recording on Monday night. We usually do that, and then we put it. Your boys actually do some back end work and get it ready for Wednesday night to go public. So it's Monday when we're recording. This is the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, today. Mm. Okay, and I found it just fascinating that on this feast they actually point to the Garden of Eden for the first reading for the Mass today. You know, that was when they did what? When the snake convinced them you can be your own gods. Late 1960s, Doug.
Yeah.
What was going on the streets of State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, Saturday night? What's gotten into, what are they, Doug? They're disconnected from that umbilical cord to the grace of God, okay? They're cut off from that, all right? Why? Because they chose to live outside of the paradise of God's presence and his life, and to do it his way, not our way. You know, not our conscience trumps God's will for our lives, right? And that's the choice that Adam and Eve made at that moment. I like, too, how the story goes where, you know, he approaches Adam. Well, yeah, but you sent the woman to me, and she made me do it. And then you go to women. Well, the devil made me do it. You know, so everybody's blaming everybody else.
The blame game. Big blame.
Yeah,
game.
But but the snake convinces them, right? Yeah. You know what the snake is right now? It's a lot of things, but it's the indoctrination that we receive through the evil, evil, evil media that's going on right now. And you can actually include public schools, Hollywood. What are they doing? They're convincing us that we can be our own gods. That's what we're talking about here, the snake. Doug, this country of ours is infested with snakes, okay? And Mary is the one who is caught, who is given to us. And I a lot of theologians will talk about this too, but that's because God even wants to mock Satan and say, I'm gonna defeat you with a human being, angel. Okay, and God is choosing Mary as the one, and she is what? The new Eve, okay? Right. And she gives us the key that unlocks the door to receive all the grace that we need. And she did that when she exposed her son for the first time at the wedding at Cana. They came up and said, they're out of wine. And she said, ultimately, do whatever he tells you. What does that do, Doug? That reverses the curse of do what thou wilt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Mary points us to her son, brings us to her son. Mary crushes the head of the serpent. We're called, Doug, to bring Mary out into the land and to heal this land and to drive out the demons, the snakes from this land, a lot like St. Patrick in Ireland. You know, bring the power of the rosary. This is the weapon of our times, as Our Lady of Fatima told us, okay? This is the weapon of our times. We're called to bring this powerful, powerful weapon, and we have authority over the land, Doug. We are given authority over the land. We go out and we bring the rosary and our prayers and our faith, a belief in the supernatural power of God, and the snakes scatter.
Well, and you know, Father, and how many of the Blessed Mother's apparitions in the last 100 years alone, you know,
right.
You know, where she is constantly going back to that point about praying the rosary. And she's also saying in so many words and very clearly, the world needs to know this. So this right. isn't just set apart for a handful of people. If right. you're a Catholic out there or non-Catholic out there and you're listening or watching right now, pick up the rosary. Why? Well, because Father said it and Doug said it. No, because the mother of Jesus said it. Because right. the one who crushes the serpent. If St. Maximilian Kolbe, you know, makes that statement clear that there's only one human being in the history of mankind who ever has been given or ever will be given the power to crush the head of the serpent, and that is the Blessed Mother.
Right.
And if she, who's been given that power, says to us who are her children, I need you, want you, and call you to pray right. the rosary.
To be an army.
Then we got to respond. I mean, if we don't, what are we saying? And you know, Father, the more we see this over and over, it's kind of like when a doctor looks at someone and says, and I heard this from a friend of mine here, Pete, up here in where I live now in Tyler. Doctor said to him one day, hey, you know what? You got some heart issues coming on here. You got to lose some weight and you got to get in shape or you're going to have a short life. And, you know, when you hear that from a doctor, you got to take seriously. Okay, what am I going to do here now? So when God the Father sends the Mother of God to the world and says, okay, look, you got to make some changes and you should be praying the rosary. This is how we're going to do this or else you're going to have some problems. You'd right. think the reasonable, wise, logical person would say, I'm going to do that then. So it is a way, as you said, Father, to drive out the demons, to chase them away, to be instruments of Our Lady to help crush the head of the serpent and to regain surrender ground. I know you've been doing this. You've run into some problems. Before we talk more about regaining surrender ground, what has happened recently to you in your neck of the woods regarding what the government, what leaders are saying, the mass
yeah. isn't? I mean, it's just incredible, Doug. So We have a progressive liberal left, whatever you want to call him, governor now. We were so used to our beautiful governor, Scott Walker, who was just with us for so long. Anyway, so what is he doing? He's doing what all the progressive left liberal governors are doing, and they're extending, you know, this lockdown. And as he's going through phases, he's especially coming against the Catholic Church or all churches, I should say, all faiths. Why? Because we're the threat. You know, they just don't like people of faith who are calling us out of being our own gods and turning to God Himself and following His word. Anyway, so we're opening up we're being chastised and discriminated against. Well, all of a sudden, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin comes out and says he can't do that under First Amendment rights. That, you know when that was, Doug? That was on May 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Yeah. We celebrated. So now we were considered an essential business. Boom. Okay. So there we were, and we're getting everybody ready. And the bishops of Wisconsin actually chose Pentecost to actually open her up to 25% capacity was phase one. And we're all set for that. 2 days before we're about to open up to 25%, our bishop gets a call from the Department of Health for Dane County, our county here, and says, "You will, we have changed your category. You will have only," I don't know if they had a German accent or not.
Yeah, nice accent, but, yeah. But makes the point.
"You will obey, and you will not have more than 50 people in any church. You have 51. We're going to send out government watchers, and we will fine for every service. We will fine them $1,000. Okay, that was Thursday. Okay, we were going to have mass on Saturday. All right, so we quickly got together, and I think we all managed to do it. He had a Zoom call with all of us priests from Dane County, and we managed to get to our people, and we trimmed her down. I doubled up my masses. I asked Bishop permission for an extra mass. I doubled up all my masses on Sunday, and Father Zulsdorf cooperated too with the traditional Latin mass that we have here. And so anyway, but here we are, okay? And the bishop asked us to, you know, to cooperate and give the diocese time to develop their plan. You know, they were just a deer in headlights. 2 days, you know, so let's cooperate this weekend. Let's not appear to be the bad guy by not cooperating while we develop our plan. That plan, I think, Doug, is coming out in the next couple of days or so. And I'm waiting to see it. And I think it's going to be good. Yeah. But that's what we're doing right now. But Doug, you know, all of this, I've been asking our people to, again, turn to the power of the rosary and to, and this is what I've been advocating. You know, when that Supreme Court decision came out, I had actually started walking around our Wisconsin State Capitol on May 1st, that day, that the first day of consecration of Mary, Mother of the Church, which is today's feast day right now, because I saw what you're talking about, Doug, this change from being safe to being political. And I saw there was people who were lusting for power, who wanted to be in good graces with the ruling class, who wanted to, you know, shift the power of government. They saw that never let a crisis go to waste. That was what this was starting to be. As new science was coming in, our better understanding of this virus, it wasn't worst case scenario. It started tacking down to a bad flu, comparable to a bad flu. And in the midst of it, you had a lot of governors who are like going, we got to pull people out of poverty. You know, we got to get them back to work. So let's do it carefully, but we got to do it. And then you had these power hungry, of which we have one of them. And so I got out on front of the state capitol, and almost every day I was praying the rosary. And that's when the Supreme Court decision came in on May 13th. Okay. I thought God was telling me something there. Okay. He was confirming. And here's the thing too, about being outside and walking with the rosary instead of being in our home, akin to the quarantine we've been doing all this time. We finding out now that you want to build your immune system, you got to take vitamin D. You know what? You don't have to go and buy it at the store. It's free. It's from the sun. Okay. You know, and the pharmacy companies hate that.
Okay? Yeah, they do.
But you can go out and get vitamin D, and that builds up your immune system and keeps you strong against all bugs, all viruses and flus and everything. So why not? Why not go out and bring the power of the rosary and declare, we have an authority over the soil. Walk with your feet and your faith and your prayers and the power of the rosary. And let's claim that soil back for God.
Well,
and drive Father, those snakes out.
And let's I think a couple of things need to be made clear here. Even the president of the United States, again, the day we record this is June 1st. And, you know, we saw the video clip where he stood in front of St. John's Church, the Episcopal Church, which just the day before was set on fire by this demonic effort to undermine and destroy anything good, the fiber of this country that's good. And there's a lot of good in this country and in this world. And so the president stands out in front of this church, and you know, you see the image here of him just holding up the Bible.
Yeah.
He said next to nothing. He had a couple of slight comments, but there was no speech given.
He was signaling, holding
up the Bible. You know, this, he says, it's a great country and we're going to make it great again. He says, we're going to make it great again.
But he was signaling, we got to pray.
We've got to turn this to God. It has to be based on God. It has to be turning to God. And then in addition to that, I know you've started this, this amazing movement about the Rosary Walk, and you've got a map.
Well, that came out of what I just described. You know, I thought, oh, I got to do something with it. And then what I did, Doug, is I went to GoDaddy where you can get domain names.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm going to type this in, but there's no way it's available. Rosarywalk.com. It was available. I mean, I own it now. I got it for like 10 bucks, you know? And I said, okay, God, something's going on here. And then I got a friend who can build websites pretty fast. And so everybody go to rosarywalk.com. What is Rosary Walk? It's just a way for us to kind of celebrate that we're all doing this. So all I wanted it to be, Doug, is some a few words of encouragement to do this, okay? And then a place where people can send in their photographs of them walking outside, and everybody can see them, which is cool. But also I got a Google map that you can actually just type your information in real quick, and then your pin comes up, and the whole nation already, Doug, is filling up with these balloon pins on this Google map showing that we are reclaiming surrendered ground. You know, one of my favorite quotes of the Rosary came from Pope Pius XI. He said, the Rosary is a powerful weapon to put demons to flight and to keep oneself from sin. If you desire peace in your hearts, in your homes, and in your country, assemble each evening to recite the Rosary. Let not even one day pass without saying it, no matter how burdened you may be with many cares and labors. You know, that's what I picture a lot, Doug. People can walk and pray whenever they want, but you know, after you have that big meal, you know, get out, you know, go get your neighbors, or maybe, you know, arrange that, you know, we're going to meet in the park every, you know, every night after dinner and walk together. But what a great way to not only bring spiritual health to yourself, but to the land, to your country, and also physical health to yourself. Here's kind of a fun fact for you. I started doing these rosary walks May 1st, and we're recording on June 1st. I lost 20 pounds. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when a lot of people are growing around the middle during the quarantine, I lost 20 pounds.
Well, and if anybody watching or listening right now has not been out to your Facebook page, you got to go out to Father Heilman's Facebook page and take a look at regular images that you post, Father, when you do the rosary walk around the Capitol. You're going to Madison and you've got people coming out there. And here's a couple things I want to make clear to people is this is not like a rosary rally where you've got to get hundreds of people and a big organization behind it. My wife and I do a rosary walk regularly in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
We go to rosaries and
you could go by yourself even, you know,
you do it alone.
Yeah.
And the thing, you've got something on the page here. I got it pulled up here on the other monitor. Every place, this is from Joshua 1 verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you.
Yep.
Now, people, please listen to what we're saying here. Have faith in the Word of God. Have faith in supernatural power. Have faith in the mighty power of God. Have faith in it. You're not throwing mud at the wall hoping it sticks. Grab your rosary, even if you're alone. Walk around your neighborhood. Walk around. Go around the outside of your house if you have to. Walk through the local park. Walk down the street in front of the shopping mall.
Right.
Wherever you are, get out there.
It was such a glorious day today, Doug. We were out there. We had about three or four families out there around the state capitol. Just the blue sky and the sunshine. And to think the night before there was all kinds of riots like 100 yards away from us. But, you know, there we were. And we were just, you know, taking in the beauty of God's creation and believing by our prayers that we were reclaiming that surrendered ground for God. You know, when we say that by the soles of our feet, he gives the land to us. It's not that we get a deed to the property. It's that we're turning this land over to God. We're taking it away from the demons. We're driving the snakes out, and we're giving this land back to God. Yeah. We want a country, don't we, Doug, that is built, founded upon, and directed by our Almighty God.
Well, and you know, and if there's anything in America, we know we're fans of the underdog. We're fans of, you know, when you're down, you're never out. That's why the Rocky movies, which really the Rocky movies, not the greatest writing all the time, not the greatest acting all the time, but why do they impact people the way they did over and over and still do? Because we are a people that understand, you know, and actually there's a Christian concept here is we are a people of resurrection. We're resurrection people. We believe that even in death, there is something greater that comes, you know, Jesus coming out of the tomb, conquering death. Okay. If our country is going through some struggle right now, it's, and it is a lot of struggle, and we're kind of teetering in some ways. If you count us out right now in America and the impact influence we can have on the whole world, and for people, our friends who are watching outside of this country, even in your countries, your churches, your homes, your families, you count it out. That is not having confidence in the power of God. That's not the underdog spirit. That's not that indomitable human spirit that John Paul II talks about. There has to be that attitude, that understanding that I'm a fighter. And before the battle even begins, in my heart, I have made the decision. I will not rest. I will not give up as long as this battle is noble. I'm in it for the long haul. And this is something, again, Father, that I love that you've gotten this going with the Rosary Walk. And I want to encourage people out there, go check out rosarywalk.com. Start walking. Okay. The map, I'm looking at the map. The map is, I mean, the red flags are everywhere on this map. The red markers are everywhere, but there's a lot of areas where the markers are not yet. So for people out there right now, go to rosarywalk.com, check out the map, see where you fit into this. Let's inundate the country.
Let's spread the virus of faith.
Yeah, exactly. And do it with a confidence, realizing that this is a battle between good and evil that has you know, consequences beyond our understanding. I mean, eternal consequences, the consequences that our Lord talks about when he says you've got a wide road and a narrow road. Yeah. All right. Many people are on the wide road. He doesn't say that they're in hell, but they're on the wide road. We have a job to do to, number one, get ourselves on the narrow road, and then do what we can to get as many other people pointing that same direction.
But you know, Doug, another great pope was Pope Pius IX. He said, give me an army saying the rosary and I will conquer the world.
Yep.
You know, Doug, with this idea that I think God planted in me about Rosary Walk, you know, you don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to have a PhD in theology. You know, a lot of people think we might not even have a lot of time to go to meetings and things like that.
Right.
But anybody can get up from the kitchen table and go take a walk, okay?
Yeah.
And we can reclaim surrendered ground. You don't have to go to you know, government buildings or anything like that too. Reclaim your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make the neighborhood holy. And wherever you are, you know, just pray with faith that I am reclaiming this. God has given me authority over the land and I'm reclaiming that. So Doug, it's rosarywalk.com. The website's about what, 3 days old or something like that. But we actually picked June 1st to kind of launch everyone going walking. So that's actually today when we're recording. And it is the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, in which our nation and Canada was just consecrated to May 1st. So a month ago. Yeah. So we picked this day because June is that you, everybody kind of considers, at least in our part of the world, you know, that's the first month of summer, right? Because school's over, you know, let's go out, let's cook out, let's go boating or swimming or whatever, but it's summer. And so this isn't a big ask. Just go walk in and carry your rosary. And lastly, that's the other thing I want to tell people to do. Carry your rosary
all the time.
Because you're getting blessings from that. You're getting graces from carrying that blessed rosary in your pocket. And who knows, maybe just even doing that wherever you're going, you're blessing the ground that you walk on, okay?
Right.
All right, so rosarywalk.com, okay? I think we're out of time, Doug?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Okay.
And I just, last thing I want to encourage husbands and fathers out there, all right?
Father's Day is coming.
I'm talking to you from the heart, men.
Yep.
Okay, we've got to reclaim our families.
Yep.
Reclaim our houses, our homes.
Yep.
Okay, we have to be the leaders in this battle, All right. Yep. I've been given my own little platoon. If I've got children and a wife to care for,
yep.
You know, we have to be teaching our kids, teach your sons what it is to be spiritual leader, spiritual home. Realize you have a spiritual authority. We husbands and fathers have a spiritual authority over those that God has entrusted to our care, our wife, right, and our children. And we have to exercise that spiritual authority. The demons fear. Look, just like that sign in the front door of your front window of your house, you know, when the bad guy's looking around, he's going to try to find a house he's going to break into, and he sees a sign that says, this house is protected by Smith and Wesson. He's rethinking, okay, maybe I don't want to go into this house. But if he comes up that driveway and he sees Dad standing there, you know, with that firearm in his hand ready to go, this is natural level now we're talking about. Bad guys are normally going to make an about face and head out. Spiritually speaking, when we men are standing on the perimeter, we're on the wall, we got a rosary in hand, holy water, you know, and we're taking care of our family best we can. Now, granted, you can't force anybody, you can't force your children to choose God. Of course, we know this, but we can fight for them with every breath we have in our lungs. So stand on that wall, men, rosary in hand. Yep. Holy water, make sure you're wearing your scapular, all right?
Yeah.
Make sure you're using the weapons that God has given you and fight for your family just like you would physically. If you knew a bunch of looters were coming down the street and your home was going to be under siege, men, you'd have to gear up and get ready to protect your family if it was going to be that type of a situation that could be life and death. Spiritually speaking, that's already happening. We yep. have to be men who are ready to engage in this battle.
Yeah, and always carry.
Yes.
I'm talking about the rosary.
Right? Yes.
That's why
yes.
I put in my combat rosary bag a concealed carry yeah. card for a combat a rosary prayer warrior.
Yes.
So awesome, Doug. All right, let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Great being with you, Doug.
You too, Father.